My guest this morning is Dr. John Ritz. Welcome, Dr. John.
Good morning.
I had heard about you through a friend who had a torn meniscus, and you had given him some type of light therapy, and I think he even mentioned you had him sitting on a light box for this. So could you explain to the listeners what this type of therapy is and what it involves?
Yeah, certainly. To begin, I'm a naturopathic physician. I should start by explaining what my background is.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I could do that, and then we'll get into the therapy.
Sure.
I need the listeners to understand who I am and where I come from. got my undergrad degree from West Point, United States Military Academy. And when I got out of the Army, because of an injury, there weren't any physicians that could tell me how to recover, and it was through what we call alternative care that I learned how to recover, and I really felt drawn towards it. I wanted to become a physician that had answers. When I learned about naturopathic medicine, it was a perfect fit. There are naturopathic doctors go to a four-year accredited med school, get out with all the prerequisites that a regular doctor has, with a lot more. It's a five-and-a-half-year curriculum crammed into 4 years where we learn how to help the body heal itself, understanding that any real healing actually comes from within. And so what we're looking to do is give the body what it needs, help it take out the trash and restore the underlying imbalance. I focus a lot of my therapy starts with actually with homeopathy. And for this gentleman, I gave him a homeopathic remedy specific to the type of pain and type of injury that he sustained. And then I began Avalon light therapy local to his knee and to his hamstring. Oftentimes people get knee injuries or ankle injuries, and it's often because of a hamstring issue. The body doesn't know where to place the foot down on the ground. Another thing I did, actually, and I'm just going to mention this and so that we can get on to the light therapy, which is really remarkable. Actually, I ran out to my herb garden. I picked a bunch of comfrey leaves, whipped them up in a blender with a little bit of water, and had him pack the comfrey on his knee. And he did that several times a day for the next few days. He went out of town, and so he just used up what he had. Comfrey is a specific herbal therapy for any kind of connective tissue damage. It contains a compound called allantoin, and allantoin simulates cellular proliferation or cell division and growth, and also gets the cells to come together. So it'll close a wound really fast in the skin. It helps bones, ligaments, tendons, cartilage close up, bind up quickly. so then I, with that, I began using Avalon light therapy.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the homeopathic remedy that you used?
Ruta, R-U-T-A.
And what is the action of that one?
Yeah, homeopathic Ruta is made from Ruta graveolens, or Siberian rue. And it is a specific homeopathic remedy for ligamentous strain and sprain. Not to get too far off track, but it's also for it's also almost a specific remedy for eye strain. So if somebody's, like, say, reading in the dark or staring at a computer screen for too long and suffers from eye strain, it helps with that. I was at a a party once years ago, and a gentleman drove, this was in Phoenix, and he drove up from Tucson, which is 90 miles away, in the dark at night, after having sat in front of a computer for 8 hours. And he would suffer regularly from eye strain. So his eyes were bloodshot. He had this strained look in his eye. And I said, so tell me, does it feel sore and lame? He said, yeah, actually, my eyes feel sore and lame. I went, okay. Follow me. So we ran over to where I had my homeopathic remedy kit. I pulled out homeopathic Ruda. I gave him Ruda. You know, and he was complaining. He had been complaining about how he had to drive up with the headlights in his eyes, and he was just, his eyes hurt. And before I gave him a couple little, you just dose out these little sugar pellets of remedy onto his tongue. I just tapped a few out. And before I got, I screwed the cap back on the bottle, put it back in the box, put the box back in the cabinet. By the time I turned around, he's looking in the mirror, watching the bloodshot eyes clear up. He looked at me in awe. He's like, does it really work that fast? I said, yeah, it can, you know. And by the time we left the room, so less than a minute had passed, the pain had dropped to almost negligible levels. And throughout the evening, he continued to tell me how excited he was that his eyes felt good. I've also used Ruda for an ankle sprain. A runner sprained her ankle on a trail running course, and I keep Ruda and Arnica in my glove box in my car. They're such primary first aid remedies that I keep them around. I started dosing them with Arnica and Ruda, and
what's the strength of the doses you're using? Because is it measured in cc?
It's measured in C.
Okay.
Homeopathy is, I'm glad we're talking about homeopathy, actually, and I know we're going to get on to Avalon Light Therapy soon, but
yeah.
Homeopathy is a system of medicine that in our modern age has never seen anything more powerful or transformative. It's based on a law of similars, that like cures like. So what we do is we take crude doses, meaning you could actually measure the amount. Like, let's say you take an herbal, you soak it in a water alcohol mixture. Let's say vodka, mm-hmm. which is 40% alcohol. And you extract the chemical constituents from that. That's a crude dose, meaning it's undiluted. If you give that to a normally healthy individual over a period of time, the individual might actually develop symptoms. A lot of the medicines that we've used are actually toxic. And, it's one of these principles of medicine where a little bit is medicinal, a lot is toxic. There's a set of symptoms that emerge from a large population of people that's unique to the remedy or to this substance. You can kind of distill out, we look at 200 people that take this extract of this root, and they begin to all develop right-sided headaches above the eye. Feels like their eye's bulging out. They've got to push on their eye to squeeze it back in. And this is sanguinaria. So now we know that this remedy, this substance, causes right-sided headaches above the eye. That they start above the ear, they move towards the eye. It's very clear. In this way, it's actually a very scientific, very systematic way of proving, in the true German sense of the word, to prove is to actually to know what symptoms it causes. Now, then, we don't want to, if somebody shows up with a headache, we don't want to give them a crude dose of sanguinaria because they're already suffering, and so this would be too much for their body to handle. So we want to give them less and less. Teeny little bit stimulates the healing response and helps them recover from the headache rapidly. What we found is that the smaller the dose, the stronger the effect, if we mix or shake, or what they call in homeopathic pharmacy, potentize each dilution. And they've shown that if you just dilute it repeatedly without this potentization, that the medicine is ineffective.
And describe the potentization.
Okay, the potentization means that you take the crude medicine and you dilute it either 1 in 10 or 1 in 100. So a 1 in 10, or we call it decimal dilution, is an X. They use the Roman numeral X. So a 1X potency means it's been diluted once. A 3X potency means it's been diluted 1 in 10 three times. Which basically means it's got two zeros in front of it. It's a 0.001 dilution, if you can picture, you know, that we're getting like a smaller and smaller percentage of the original substance in it. What you'll see in the stores often are C potencies. If you go to a health food store and you look at their rack of homeopathic remedies, they'll sell you a 6C or a 30C potency, meaning it's been diluted centesimally, or it's a 1% dilution six times. So we take out 99 parts, we leave one part, and we do that over and over and over again. In this way, we end up with a far greater dilution. A 6C means it's got 12 zeros in front of it. Okay? So it's a 1 million millionth dilution. A 30C dilution means it has 60 zeros in front of it. And in this way, a 30C is the dilutional equivalent of a drop in the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
Very dilute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I carry with me 200C potencies, so it's been centesimally diluted and potentized 200 times. And 1M potencies, which is 1,000. M being the Roman numeral for 1,000, it's even more potent.
Mm-hmm.
And we go up from there, actually. It's quite remarkable to think that, you know, in our science class, what we learn about how medicine works and how substances work, that it's something that you can't measure. It's been diluted out beyond the point at which you can ever expect to measure the original substance in there, that it would have an effect. Well, the truth of the matter is that we use homeopathy effectively millions of times a day. There's, for example, there's 130,000 trained, licensed homeopathic doctors in India. It's a system of medicine that has proven itself effective for hundreds of years, and it's borne out by the fact that people continue to get a curative benefit. Homeopathy is curative in that it stimulates the body to heal itself. Rather than, say, taking Tylenol for pain, it wears off after a couple hours. A homeopathic remedy doesn't work that way. It stimulates a correction in the body. It stimulates a correction in that underlying imbalance that we mentioned. Something that you can't see or hear or taste or smell. But what we know is that the person's symptoms are improved. And, you know, we use it on physiological things that are actually measurable. So someone has a thyroid condition. They've got a thyroid hormone that's too high or too low. We prescribe a homeopathic remedy for their chronic condition, and we can repeat the test. You know, their symptoms of hyper or hypothyroid improve, and then we run another blood test and we see that the thyroid levels have actually normalized. You know, I've treated, I was describing this case recently, I treated a gal who had a hereditary hemochromatosis, which means that she basically inherited a condition where there's too much iron in her blood. And so she would have to go to a phlebotomist periodically at the instructions of her physician to have blood drawn to lower the iron count. She started working with me, and at the time she was going every 3 to 4 weeks to have blood drawn mm-hmm. to lower her iron count. And almost immediately, she stretched it from 30 days to 60 days, and from 60 days to 90 days, 90 days to 120 days.
Well, that sounds like a pretty unusual condition. How did you even begin to know what would be a proper homeopathic remedy to use?
Yeah, well, this is the beauty of homeopathy, is that we understand that we can't observe the patient. You know, just for example, in the proving of the homeopathic remedy, not measuring their blood count. We're taking a homeopathic remedy and we're looking at the outward signs. So what we know is that the remedy causes outward signs. Okay, so we see outward signs of palpitation, nervous anxiety, maybe waking up at a specific hour of the day, maybe being very chilly or having a tremor in the hand, not the feet, not anywhere else, but the tremor actually begins in the hand and moves up the body.
And that is from the homeopathic remedy, or that's part of her condition that she comes to you with?
Well, that's the beauty of it. So we know that there are thousands of homeopathic remedies that have been proven, and there are hundreds that are used more commonly, and there are dozens that are used most commonly. And the patient comes to me with a set of symptoms that are based on an internal state.
Mm.
And this comes from an understanding that there's only one of us. We are a whole package. So when we're imbalanced, all of us is imbalanced. There's one imbalance going on. And so when we look at the individual and we get a complete picture of the person, right, and we find that there are some peculiar symptoms, okay, some marked, some very strong and peculiar symptoms. Let me say, for example, okay, so two people come in with influenza. We do a swab, and we find that they both have influenza A, right?
Mm-hmm.
We swab it's a nasopharyngeal swab. We basically stick a Q-tip up their nose, and we can confirm that both of them have influenza A, and let's say they were both sitting in the same living room. They even caught it from the same person, right? One person has fever with chills. Yeah. Another person has a really hot fever. They're burning up. Okay. These two individuals would actually get a different homeopathic remedy. One person would get a remedy that produces signs and symptoms that are specific to their condition. Another person would get a remedy that has signs and symptoms that are specific to that overeating kind of thing.
So that would be like when you were talking about the sanguinaria?
Sanguinaria, yeah.
Sanguinaria, when you were talking about that and it's causing eye problems, pain behind the eye, then that could be used to treat a headache that's like a pain behind the eye?
Definitely. You know, another person comes to me with a chronic, now this was an individual that had 15 years of chronic migraine. Every year for about a month, sometime between July and August, he'd have a month that would debilitate him. No amount of Imitrex or any other pain medication would help relieve it, and every year it would come back. And, you know, he perfectly described the symptoms of sanguinaria headaches, perfectly. To a T, I went, wow. Like, almost like he read from the Materia Medica.
Mm.
And that evening when he began taking sanguinaria, his headaches began to diminish. He had a headache that night. It was less intense and shorter duration. Next day, stepped down a little bit. And what we can, we're actually going to have to wait a year till he has that bad month again, and we'll see how it goes. You know? So the individual with hemochromatosis showed up with a set of symptoms that were specific to a homeopathic remedy that covered her chronic condition, more so than the hemochromatosis, because hemochromatosis is not a outward symptom. You can't say, well, you know, we can see it, but we can see the tremor, we can see the nervousness, we can see the palpitations and anxiety that are very specific. You know, one person has one kind of anxiety, another person has another. You know, one person, you know, for example, one person has a right-sided headache over the eye that's a chronic migraine. Another guy has chronic migraines that are worse from being out in the sun and the heat, from sweating too much. And it feels like a band around his head, like he's being squeezed by an iron band.
We lost you. You were telling us about the man who had the feeling of the iron band squeezing his head as a different type of headache.
Wow, I was talking for a while before I realized that we were disconnected. But the story with the gentleman is that his headaches resolved. Okay, he got a different homeopathic remedy called Namir. And just lastly, I wanted to close up with homeopathy by saying that I was turned on by homeopathy very early on into my medical training when I learned that in 1903, there was a cholera epidemic that was where people were dying at the rate of 30 to 50% on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, we might remember this story. You remember that this is actually a public health story where they realized that it was a dirty well that was causing it. And so anyway, those that were treated homeopathically died at a rate of less than 0.5%. So it was 99.5% effective in the treatment of cholera in 1902, 1903. And it was the same rate of effectiveness in 1917, 1918 Spanish flu. And it continues to be effective in epidemic diseases like typhoid and malaria. We enjoy incredible success. And so if I can ever get a medicine that works rapidly, completely, and safely, I want to learn everything I can about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good segue into Avalon Light Therapy. So we can talk about Avalon Light. Avalon Light is, in my own words, mind-blowing. It's a next-generation NASA technology that uses super-luminous LEDs that are woven into neoprene pads, where you can place them against the skin around the body. The LEDs that they use are red, blue, and infrared. Red and blue LED lights are 5 milliwatts each, which is about 5 times stronger than any LED that you got in your flashlight. They light up a room. And the infrared lights are 72 milliwatts, so they're 12 times stronger than the red and blue. Now, you can't see the infrared, but just know that if that red light on that pad is lighting up the ceiling, the infrared light is 12 times stronger. And that what's really remarkable about Avalon Therapy, because we know that red, blue, and infrared light has a dramatic healing effect. Over 2,500 studies that are published on PubMed about photodynamic therapy in the red, blue, and infrared spectrum.
Now, why is it red and infrared are right next to each other on the spectrum? Why does it skip all the way up to blue?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I'm not an expert researcher in light therapy, but this is what I know, that those light researchers that have dedicated themselves to this all around the globe, you know, in Russia and in Europe and in America, have found that red and blue and infrared are three of the most powerful light spectrums that we can use, these most powerful wavelengths of light spectrum that we can use. It's predictable, and it's, you know, aside from, say, you know, there's other colors, and I could tell you a story. You know, there's a number of different stories about different colors. This color therapy helping to balance brain waves. However, what we're trying to do is we're trying to, with red, stimulate cellular regeneration and nerve activity. With blue, we relax the system. It actually helps with the parasympathetic nervous system. What we also find is that with red, blue, and infrared, that there's a wide range of effects. For example, blue light helps relax the system. A lot of people that suffer from insomnia, when they use the blue Avalon, get sleeping that night. I mean, I've never seen anybody sleep that night. You know, I mean, I got folks that, you know, we're using homeopathy, we're using herbal medicine to help balance them and help them with their menopausal symptoms and their, you know, thyroid and adrenal condition that's interfering with their ability to rest and relax. And after a single session with Avalon, they're sleeping like babies.
So this is something that they just spend a limited amount of time with? It's not a light that you keep on while you're asleep?
No, it's not. It's somewhere between 5 and 20 minutes of therapy. The really great thing is that red, blue, and infrared all are antimicrobial. So they will kill viruses and bacteria, fungus on contact. So on the surface of the skin, if we have an infected wound, we can use it as a sterile therapy, right? But then the brilliant part about it is it also stimulates the healing response. It also takes away the pain. And it also stimulates stem cells. It's such a broad action that it's almost as if all of the bodily functions that are required for the healing up of this wound are the normalization of the hormonal process that begins right in the glands in the lower brain are affected positively.
Which glands would those be?
The pituitary gland, the thalamus, the hypothalamus.
And the other question I have is, if they're antimicrobial, how would we know that they're not destroying the good bacteria that we want to have?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I don't have an answer for you, except that I can say that if that was required for healing, what we would see is that it would interrupt the healing response. However, what we're actually seeing is that people with infected burns, after 3-4 days, 5 to 15 minutes at a time of light therapy to that wound, it's closed up and it's pink.
Okay.
You know, I haven't seen a worsening of symptoms or a worsening of the person's condition. It's a really good question. I might have to get back to you on that.
I have heard with certain herbs like usnea, old man's beard, that it's only specific to gram-negative or gram-positive bacteria, and I forget which one is the one that tends to cause problems, but the one bacteria that's beneficial is one way and the other type is the other way, and it only affects the type that bothers us.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of the ways that Avalon works, and this might provide a little insight, and I can explain a little bit more of how the light works, and is the second dramatic, what really makes Avalon stand apart from other light therapies, aside from its sheer power, is that the the box that you mentioned is actually a, it's not a box. Right? We're using pads that plug into a box that is a solid-state device, meaning there's no wires in it. It's a integrated circuit, meaning that there's a very clean signal coming through it. And it, what it does is it provides pulsations. It's what we're using with Avalon is pulsed light. And these pulsations, although you can't see them, these pulsations are coherent with normal cellular light communication. Our cells communicate via light.
Hmm.
We have what we call chromophores throughout collagen-rich tissue in the body and connective tissue, protein-rich tissue, that are light receptors. And so what we find is that these cells emit light, the light receptors collect that and transmit it to the environment so the body knows where it is, where it stands, what it needs to do next. Furthermore, the antimicrobial effect is often not because of a specific antimicrobial action, except in that it kills the bacteria. What it does is it changes the environment in a way that's unfriendly to pathologic bacteria or pathogenic bacteria, the bacteria that would cause disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you an example. In your mouth, you have a whole host of bacteria that are not pathologic or pathogenic. They are aerobic bacteria. They operate in an oxygen-rich environment. But if you were to get a root canal and kill that tooth, you can end up with an abscess at the root of the tooth in the jaw. That's an anaerobic environment, meaning there's no oxygen. And those bacteria that migrate into that area now have to adapt to an environment that's depleted of oxygen. They become anaerobic bacteria, and these anaerobic bacteria are pathogenic, meaning they can cause disease. So it's basically the change of the environment that forces the bacteria to become pathogenic. Right? In 1932, Otto Warburg got the Nobel Prize for proving that degenerative disease, heart disease, cancer exist in a acidic environment, right? So, and these are microenvironments in the body, but by remineralizing the body, by raising the body's ability to create a more alkaline microenvironment in around the cells in the blood, in the interstitial fluid, which is this fluid that's outside the cells, by being able to do that, it creates an environment that's unfriendly to viruses, to degenerative condition.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalon Light, one of the main measurable actions of Avalon, this pulse LED light, is that it, by raising the energy state of the tissue, basically, if you can picture light transmission being able to penetrate to a certain depth in the tissue. Blue light penetrates about 4 millimeters. Red light penetrates 8 to 10 millimeters. And infrared light passes into bone, into dense tissue, and actually through to the other side. We can use infrared as imaging, much in the same way that you'd use an X-ray. The difference being that infrared does not produce an ionizing radiation, meaning it doesn't damage the molecular framework. It doesn't do any damage to the atoms. Simply because it's so powerful, it can pass through.
Is the same true for sonograms? Or are you not familiar with that?
In a way, yeah. Sonogram is more physical, right? It causes shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sonar is it's a sound kind of thing, and it jiggles the cells wildly. And in some cases, we've seen that sonograms can be harmful. What the light does is it can actually, because it's so powerful, because it's such a it's a wavelength that can slip through to the other side, essentially. But it, when that light strikes an atom, it delivers more energy to the atom. And just like a satellite spinning around the Earth, there are electrons that spin around the nucleus of the atom. If you just picture that it takes a certain amount of energy to blast a rocket up into space to place that satellite out above Earth, in order to place it further, it would take more energy, right, to get it into a further orbit, further around. And so that orbit around the atom is a higher energy orbit. So by delivering this package of energy, light energy, we can deliver more energy to the atoms and molecules that are in our cells, in our bodies, in our tissues. And that extra energy is transferred into the cell, where the cell uses that energy to create ATP. ATP is the energy molecule of the cell. It's the energy currency. So what we see first is an increase in cellular ATP. Once the cell has more ATP, it can do whatever it wants, right? It can use that extra energy to repair itself, to become more youthful, to divide, do any host of activities. And so the next thing that we see is that with the increased ATP, we see an increase in nitric oxide, or NO. If anybody is on the health kick, they've probably read about NO, or nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is that molecule that relieves pain. What we found is that aspirin and morphine work via a nitric oxide pathway. Nitric oxide is also antiviral. It inhibits viral replication. It dilates blood vessels and helps improve oxygenation of tissues. It also helps regulate wound healing. So it's an indirect way of explaining why, when we apply Avalon Light, we see an increase in circulation by 400 to 3,200%. That's local to the pad. So someone has a circulation issue, we use Avalon Light on that area that's not circulating, we see a 4 to 32 times increase in circulation. Okay. So we've changed the microenvironment. We've changed the environment into a place where it's unfriendly to pathogenic bacteria, but it's totally friendly to a normal state of rest and repair, rejuvenation.
Has there been any studies that you know of done on using light therapy for dental issues?
I want to say yes. I haven't read it, but I've spoken to people that have told me, oh yeah, this has been studied. One of the guys that developed Avalon, I was talking with him on the phone recently, and I asked him. I said, hey, I got a patient with an abscess tooth, and you need to know that an abscess tooth, a root canal, is probably the, if you were going to factor in all the causes of disease, an abscess in your tooth would cover 90% of it, right? So it's it's the most important thing you need to fix in somebody is their dental health. And so I asked them, I said, well, they're waiting for surgery to remove this tooth. Does the light help with the abscess? He said, yeah, daily use, 3 weeks, 3 months, either way, it will penetrate into that abscessed area. And so my experience has been that, yes, we can access that abscess tooth essentially by wrapping the jaw and the face with an Avalon light pad, and it will penetrate into that area, change the action. Now, one of the first signs that something's going on is it actually will feel a little bit more inflamed. It'll be warmer. It'll be more active, and that's an indication that something's happening, without a doubt.
And so you're applying it from the outside in, not the inside out.
Yes, from the outside in. We're wrapping the face and the jaw with an Avalon light bed.
So what is the difference between when you're applying the Avalon light to the patient's knee versus having them sit on the light bed?
Okay, so I don't have a light bed.
Okay.
The patient that you spoke to might have described a pipe dream of his. He told me, he's like, man, wouldn't it be great if we could just have a whole bed of light? I said, yeah, it'd be great. It costs about $100,000. When we're wrapping the knee or that area locally, we're applying the energy and we're applying those pulsations directly to that injured area. And like we said before, that infrared light will penetrate right into and through the joint.
Mm-hmm. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can, maybe I can just really quickly just list some of the body functions that it's been shown through research to do.
Yes, please.
So Avalon has been shown to benefit a level of stress reduction. It supports regeneration of blood tissue vessels and lymphatic tissue. It clears emotional and energetic patterns or cell memory. Okay, so the cells have a memory. They've locked it in to their molecular structure, and it helps clear that, reset it, and allow the body to move on. It increases circulation, promotes cell regeneration, speeds up the healing process, detoxifies body systems, increases ATP production, stimulates tissue granulation and connective tissue projections, stimulates acetylcholine release, reduces the excitability of nerve tissue, decreases local pain and numbness, reduces inflammation, increases cellular communication, activates the glands of the brain and lower glands of the brain, supports a release of balanced hormones, and it rebalances the nerves and it shifts cell polarity. One really amazing study I think I should mention that was on a group of 59 diabetics that were suffering from peripheral neuropathy in their feet. So some of them had complete loss of sensation. Not a single person had any more than or any less than 50% loss. So to evaluate this, a physician uses a little microfilament, basically a little piece of bendy plastic, about like the diameter of a paperclip, and touches 10 different points on the foot, and the individual will say, yeah, I feel that, or no, I don't. And in that group of 59, nobody had any more than 5 points where they could sense, and some of the people had absolutely no sensation. These individuals were treated with Avalon Light for 5 minutes a day for 80 days, and they all experience an improvement in their peripheral nerve function. Every single one experienced an improvement. Some of the individuals at the end, the majority of them actually had complete resolution. So the majority of the people had all 10 points on their feet had sensation. And at the very least, some of the people were back to about 50%, or half of the points on their foot had complete sensation. That's remarkable. You know, if we can reduce peripheral neuropathy with light therapy, you know, there was no other intervention. There wasn't any, hey, don't drink soda. You know, there was no other change in their diet, right? In a diabetic model with these people that have a metabolic disease, that to me is actually is one of the most dramatic studies I've ever seen with Avalon.
Now, with Avalon, is this the type of thing that is sold, do they sell units that are for home use, or these are only sold to physicians?
No, it's actually, it is sold for home use. It's an FDA-cleared device. It's a Class 2 medical device, meaning it's a, it's available for on the consumer market. FDA-cleared means that it's safe and effective. It's FDA-cleared for pain and circulation.
And so, but if someone wanted to, is there a benefit to them coming to a physician to use it?
I think the benefit, first off, would just be to introduce them to the therapy and to help manage any of the other medical conditions that were going on, to basically provide some oversight. But, I mean, if I could get my patient to buy a device and use it at home, it makes my job a lot easier and I'm a lot more successful. I have clients that have purchased these things and used them for themselves and their family on a daily basis.
So it sounds like you base your success on your ability to relieve the patient's pain or disease.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've used it for puncture wounds, spider bite, burns, like we said, sleep, back pain, shoulder pain. A guy with frozen shoulder for 6 years, a single treatment, released it. A guy with bladder pain for 4 years, a single treatment interrupted that process, and he's never had any bladder pain since.
Do you know if it's been useful for avascular necrosis? I know that's kind of an unusual disease.
I don't know. I know that it has been used on PVD, which is peripheral vascular disease. And I do know that it stimulates new blood vessel generation. Now, don't be afraid. I mean, I know that people are afraid if we're producing new blood vessels over a tumor, it might actually cause it to grow. But like I said, it changes the environment and actually will help shrink a tumor. What it does is it allows the body to start creating new capillaries.
So, and is it also used for osteoporosis, osteopenia?
A non-union fracture. So there was an individual, a great study, 6 years after a broken bone, the bone was pinned together, and on x-ray you could see the fracture in the bone, and it was not healing. The individual got light therapy every day for, I want to say, 50 days.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of 50 days, the bone was more than completely healed up. It will stimulate osteoblasts. So osteoblasts are those cells that build bone.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that it will stimulate bone growth.
Can it be overused and cause, you know, sometimes you can have fractures where you get an overgrowth of bone and then that creates a problem for people?
That's a good question. The reason why we have fractures from overgrowth of bone is because we're taking drugs that cripple the osteoclast. The osteoclast, with a C, is the cell that degrades bone and remodels it. We're constantly, bone is actually very highly metabolically active tissue that is in constant state of remodeling. So chip a little way here, add a little bit there to be able to hold on to these very complex forces. And by taking, like, say, a bisphosphonate drug, what it does is it doesn't make bone any stronger, it makes bone denser. By crippling the osteoclast, and so we end up with an abnormal bone growth. And so now folks, instead of breaking their hip, are breaking their femur on the long part. So we end up with long bone fractures and the like. So again, I wouldn't expect Avalon. I haven't seen any research to show that it causes fractures. I wouldn't expect Avalon to force anything on the body. What it's doing is it's raising the energy state, allowing the body to do what it wants to do more effectively.
This has been a very fascinating subject. How frequently do people have to, or what is the duration of an Avalon treatment first?
The Avalon treatment, there are actually some presets on the Avalon machine device that are 20 minutes long.
So,
however, a lot of the research has actually been done on 5-minute treatments.
Oh, wow. And then for if someone has a particular condition, the torn meniscus, how many repeated sessions until they're done?
Oh, geez, that's a really good question. You know, all I can say is that it depends.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to rebuilding cartilaginous tissue, stitching bones or ligaments, it's going to take repeated treatment. I mean, we're going to probably end up needing 15 to 20 treatments at least, you know, depending on their age.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a ballpark, though. That gives people an idea.
Yeah.
So, Dr. John Ritz, I really thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning, and it's just about 10 o'clock.
Oh, you too, Pete. Thanks for having me in. And,
And would you like to tell people where you're located and the name of your practice, if anybody out there is interested?
Yeah. My name is Dr. John Ritz. It's spelled J-O-N. My website is drjohnritz.com, drjohnritz.com. And I'm in Eastern Connecticut, and I should say that, I mean, I treat people all around the country. There's not a lot of doctors that do what I do.
Excellent. Well,
yeah.
Thank you again.
You too, Pete.
Bye.
Thanks for having me on.